needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The Blind Tag, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, WLW Studios Midnight Jury and After Midnight, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Thursday Night Destruction, Two and a Half Wrestlers featuring the Pat Buck Show and the Bro Show, and the Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Ladies, gentlemen, lowlifes, and everybody in between, we are your new Friday Night Delight. We are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. From the current to the way back, this is the motherfucking Turnbuckle Throwbacks. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I am joined by the man...
The Red, White, and Blue Collar Scholar, made in the USA, the Mega Powers.
The man who's got more swords than Sho Kozuki. Who's got more headbands than that dude from Kickboxer. What was that dude's name with the headband?
In Kickboxer, I never watched any of the Kickboxer.
No, what was, no, not Kickboxer. Bloodsport. What was that?
Bloodsport.
The
the big dude that was in Enter the Dragon, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god, why does his name escape me at this
Beepo
moment?
Beepo or Bippo or some shit?
Something like that.
Well, you got more headbands than him, and the Milk Bar Brawler himself, the Mega Powers. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Friday Nights. We are live, David.
We're live.
Rant Entertainment Media. Rant EM Radio is the fucking place. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. And welcome to Friday Nights on Rant EM Radio. So, let me give you a brief background of what's been going on. I had an opportunity to do some extra things at work.
There Bolo, was a, that's the name. Bolo.
Bolo, that's it. Thank you. Thank you very much. I see... Is that our boy Matt in there? Is Matty in there?
That's him.
All right.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
All right. So, the opportunity arose. I had mentioned it to the guys a few weeks ago. I'm like, I'm putting in for it, but I doubt I'll get it because, you know, it goes by seniority. And there's like one or two dudes that have seniority over me. And the one guy that's got a month, like months ahead of me in seniority, like 1 month, he puts in for the spot. He puts in for the spot. He calls me. He's like, oh, before we went on vacation. I'm like, yeah. He's like, put in for the spot. But I don't know if I'm going to take it. I was like, okay, so what are you calling me for? He's like, well, if I get rejected or if I get it, I'm going to, you know, if you, you know, I might turn it down, then you'll be next in line. So when he offered it to me, I was like, oh, great. So normally how it goes is when they tell you you have the spot, it takes about 4 to 6 weeks to get the new position. You know, HR's got to run all your stuff and, you know, the whole nine yards. So, funny shit, my boss goes, you got the spot. So, of course, I have to message AA, and I thank you to him. Thank you to him, by the way, for he had to make some arrangements for us because there was some stuff going on this summer for Fridays, and he, you know, he flipped it around. So, thank you very much for that. And then I had to tell Dave, I'm like, yeah, I'll let you know in a couple of weeks. So, my boss said, I'll let you know by day's end when your start date's going to be. I'm figuring like August, September. He goes, no, you start next week. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
So, that's quick.
Right. So, needless to say, and I think it's going to help us in the long run because we'll have a couple of more days to digest if anything jumps off during the week, you know? And I think
the week, there's not too much news on a Friday.
No, no. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, if something jumps off in the week, you know, and just, like, something like after Raw or after SmackDown, like something, say, happens after Wednesday or something, like, or Ring of Honor or whatever, I feel like the change might do us some good.
Change is good, my friends.
Yeah, and I hated change, so, you know, but now I embrace it. Ted Turner's in the room, Dark Joker. I think that's Rage, by the way. We'll get into him in a second.
Yeah, we'll get into that that clown later.
Yeah, Pastor Sadell, Josh is in the room, and everybody else is not giving us a, what do you call it? Not giving us a name and an avatar. It's all anonymous. But we have a new chat room. And we're the first show on Rant EM to debut it, live anyway. A little
nice red, white, and blue motif.
Yeah, what'd you think of the intro?
I really liked it. I was about to say, I was like, that was worth a power playing, if you will, my idea. So I enjoyed it.
Well, you'll get some music anyway. I'm not yeah. You know, but. How the hell have you been, Mr. I'm escorting Asian actors and actresses around the city?
I've been doing pretty good. Actually, the festival was probably our most successful of all time, which was really cool to see. Like, the last couple years were, you know, so-so. How can I word it? It's just kind of like, you know, how do you teach an old dog to do some new tricks? So this year, we actually split from Japan Cuts, which is a Japanese film festival that's happening in New York. And, you know, we were mainly kind of, I don't want to say just supporting them, but we were kind of co-mingling. And they, you know, they wanted to do their own thing. And I guess the split was good because we ended up getting a bigger turnout for our stuff. And it was awesome, really awesome. It's good that I'm now like the lead security guy whenever they have somebody, so immediately I get thrown to whoever they got. And I got to reconnect with a good friend of mine, a Korean director by the name of Lee Won-suk, who did some excellent movies. One called How to Use Guys with Secret Tips is the English title.
Okay.
And the other one is called The Royal Tailor, and this guy is hilarious. I emailed him like a few weeks before he came in, you know, saying like, oh, it's going to be good to see you again. And when I saw him, he was already trashed. He was already drunk. And he was like, oh, I've been looking all over for you. And I was like, okay. Just a blast, man. It's just good to reconnect with people. Good to make some new connections. And good to be in the theaters watching some movies again, some kick-ass films.
Shout out to, we have Lee checking in from TuneIn. Lee Champion from Freaks and Effing Geeks, his partner Rage is in the room now.
Champion.
If you haven't listened to Freaks and Effing Geeks, you're missing out. Those two kids are pretty funny guys. Check them out every Tuesday night now after the rant at 11 p.m. Speaking of programming, before we get into anything else, Saturday night, tomorrow night, you have the Wrestling Call-In Show at 11 p.m. Mr. Will I Am Morgan. Sunday, Surfer and Jordan are doing their, I think it's their 8th anniversary already. So they'll be live at 5 p.m. I'm going to be checking in with those guys because I'm going to be actually home alone for like a week.
Weird. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And, Kevin McAllister on us.
Yeah, I'm going to do the fucking risky business dance in my underwear in the kitchen. yeah, so, yeah, wifey's leaving on business. She got a new job, and she has to go to St. Louis for training. So shout out to her. And then, of course, Sunday after the What Are You Reading comic show is pre- and post-coverage of the Battleground pay-per-view. Have you seen any wrestling since you've been away, or besides the stuff you had to do for the show? Or
I the only thing that I watched was, of course, tonight's throwback, and I watched the Beast in the East pay-per-view.
What'd you think?
On Saturday, July 4th.
What'd you think?
I loved it. I thought it was a great, switch. You know, I know a lot of people wanted to do house shows. I was kind of always like, the house shows are so much more stripped back. Probably wouldn't look all that great, but this one looked fantastic. You know, even though it was a bit stripped down, like it pretty much looked like a lot of the Japanese pay per views that are in the Sumo Hall. And I thought the action was great. I heard a little backstage information that John Laurinaitis was behind a lot of that event.
Yeah, and shout out to Michael Cole, man. I mentioned it on last week's show. He did a hell of a job without anybody in his ear, man.
Yeah.
He did a really good job calling that match.
Yeah, the whole event was done extremely well. I guess it just goes to show, you know, when somebody's not in their ear, they can, you know, do their thing. You know, be themselves. Say what they got to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't know if we're getting a roll report from Matt Squires tonight, but Tony C wanted to call in and chat you up for a second. He said he needs to speak with you on the air, so I told him he can.
Absolutely.
So when he calls in, he'll have the floor for a couple of minutes.
Actually, I have something to say to him too.
Good, good. So we can get that out of the way. All those pleasantries out of the way. You guys can fucking tongue kiss afterwards. And everybody that's. I'm glad to have you back. I almost missed you, man. It's been fun. I want to thank every. No, you know I missed you, bro. You know, yes. You know you're the yin to my yang on this thing. But I want to shout out everybody who helped out, man. All the calls who called in and chat rooms and like Scott and Tony C and Double A and Matt. Everybody called in. It was really, really cool shit. So I want to thank everybody for calling in. And
heard you give Choppy a little bit of airtime too.
Choppy hung out with us in studio. Choppy will be here for now. No longer Castle Slam. It's Mega Slam. Now let's backtrack a bit. I was on vacation 4th of July weekend.
Yes.
I did not really go on the page very often. I posted something on Twitter.
I was mad because you liked the video.
I liked the video.
Sorry to cut to the chase.
I liked the video. I did not watch it. I you know what it is? I'm in that mode of, you've never put anything up bad. So I just assumed it was something that was random. I didn't even know it was you. I just thought, Dave put something up. Good. I'm just, the fact that you actually, you put a lot of good stuff up. That's the first one. I never had to worry about. Well, if I read that, I never had to worry about that. So I just assumed it was dope, and apparently it was. Cause I saw it afterwards, and I mentioned Castle Slam a couple weeks ago got canceled, and I didn't get into it because of there's a lot of personal things that went on behind the scenes with us and some other people, and I feel like it's like beating a dead horse. I don't want to. Open up any wounds and anything like that. But it's funny because my wife took offense to it. She was like, here we are, putting our house up for these people, and then all this shit goes down. I'd be pissed off, and she was pissed off. And
Pissed off.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. So now she's pissed off. The kid's pissed off. I tell Choppy and his wife to come over. You know, Tank is probably coming over. Rage always comes over regardless, and he's involved.
Because I'm driving him.
Right, you know. So it's funny that you now lay down a challenge. Stepping in for the previous opponent who lost by forfeit. And then, of course, Rage wins the title. Like, you know, Rio de Janeiro style. Pat, we call it the Pat Patterson. You know,
the asterisk.
The asterisk. And you know, not for nothing. And I'll say this. I'll use one of your lines. I'll say this, and I'll say this. I advocated for Rage. You know, I wanted him to. I wanted him to be competitive. I wanted him to do good in this challenge initially when this whole thing jumped off. You know, So now my loyalties are being stretched because now here you are. Now you're going to step in and challenge Rage to an eating contest before, you know, the pay per view. And yes, it'll be live.
It will be live.
It'll be live on Rant EM Radio. We're gonna put some mics down in the dining room, you know, and we're gonna get nice. And you know, as much shit as Rage gets, Rage is considered family now, you know. So I mean,
he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
I never doubted him for a minute.
Right, you know, but now the stakes are, now here's the thing. I wasn't directly involved. Now I'm directly involved. Like, I'm involved and Lee's involved because now we our co-hosts are going neck and neck in this eating contest. And now we have, like, there's loyalty now, line step in. Like, you know, what do I do? You know, do I root for Rage because he's my boy? Do I root for my partner because he's my partner and friend, too? And it's like, I don't know, man. And I got to tell you, I've never seen you eat a lot of food. So I don't know how much food you could pack away. I've seen Rage eat, you know, but I've never seen
Rage eat too.
So I've never seen you eat
a lot. I'm not impressed.
You're not impressed. Okay, so here's how this is going to go down. August 23rd, here at the Decadome, we're going to have the, like I said, Mega Slam. AA is drawing up the contracts as we speak. I was going to have him call in tonight. He was unable to call in. He had a meeting down in Miami with the lawyers, Rabinowitz and Rabinowitz.
Over on Flamingo Boulevard?
I don't know where it was, but he's down in MIA doing his thing. He is getting the contracts written up, drawn up. I now have a working printer. So the floor is yours. If you want to come to the Decadome next week and actually sign your contract, and then we'll have you and Rage on the air, or we could send it over to you either way, and you could sign. Either way, you're going to sign it on the air. Regardless,
it'll be done.
The contract signing is next week on Rant EM Radio. I wanted to have the wife on air with us. She's coming home that night from her trip, so I don't know if we'll get her on. Maybe we'll get her on before the show's end. And that's another thing too, with Friday nights, you know, it's, I don't know, I feel like not Double A's listening too. Everybody's checking in on everybody's texting me now. You know, I think it was Friday night now. I don't have to worry about getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So if we want to do a little extra time, we can go extra time. There's no shows after us. So I feel like we have a little more freedom on Friday night. So if this goes
well, perfect, because we're in America where freedom is ringing 24/7.
Here's my question to you now. What,
yes.
What inspired you to step in, cut this amazing promo at the Intrepid, and throw your hat, so to say, in the ring?
Well, reason why I did it was, you know, I felt a bit ashamed at Rage for accepting such a victory, for accepting the asterisk, for accepting the GIF trophy. And, you know, I wasn't too far away from the USS Intrepid, and America's birthday wasn't too far away. And, you know, as I said in the video, I was reflecting on some of the greatest slams in history, and I couldn't think of how disappointing that Castle Slam turned out to be. And you know, thinking about our great forefathers and our great American wrestlers and our great American eaters, you know, I needed to show Rage what it's like to put in some hard work in elbow grease as well as some pizza grease for now what is being dubbed Mega Slam.
Right, so you guys...
And there's not going to be any wins on the technicality. There's not going to be no forfeits. There's going to be no excuses. There's going to be no backing out. It's going to be put up or shut up and putting in your mouth and chewing and swallowing on August 23rd at Mega Slam.
So the food will be decided by the combatants. The contracts will be signed next week. And that's also an open invitation to Rage.
I'm laying down the challenge right now of what I want.
Okay, well, I'm saying he's welcome to come next week and either come in studio or come on the air with us and either sign his contracts. I'm so glad we got a working printer as of 3 o'clock this afternoon. So now it's even, like, official, you know? I'm stoked. But the man cave, we had a couple accidents in the man cave, so hopefully by the time you guys will be in studio, I'll have it fixed up by next week. It's pretty much in shambles right now at the moment. It's just a mess. But anyway, I digress. The stuff will be going down next week on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and I'm sure we'll hear from your counterpart on Tuesday when he chimes in with Freaks and Effing Geeks.
Oh, he's been chiming in every chance he's gotten.
Yeah, he's in the chat room right now talking it up, son. So
he's in the chat room. He's wearing his clown makeup, and I did remark that he wore Doink the Clown pants previously on air several times.
Yeah, he did.
So he's living up to the gimmick.
Yeah.
So it won't be a laughing matter on August 23rd when we'll see who can finish first.
Yeah, so now we have to get a new referee.
Is Rage's stomach as big as his heart? We'll find out.
You know what? I don't know, man. And I gotta tell you, I don't know. And I feel like, you know, I gotta be in your corner because you're my boy, you know, and I love Rage too. I can't be both ways. I don't know.
You're like the Miss Elizabeth at WrestleMania 5.
Easy. I'm not taking off any of my clothes like she did at SummerSlam. So you said you're requesting your food tonight already, or
I'm gonna make the challenge tonight.
Okay.
You know, if Rage wants to accept, he can accept. We can discuss. But I'm laying it down. You know, I know he wanted pizza for this challenge. He wanted authentic New York pizza. Well, I don't think New York pizza can cut it, can slice it, if you will.
You're crazy. I just had some just before.
For August 23rd.
Okay.
At Mega Slam.
Okay.
If we're going to get grimy, if we're going to get disgusting, if we're going to have a real food eating competition, it has to be with the dirtiest pie of them all. And that's the new Pizza Hut hot dog crust pizza.
Ooh.
I won't have it any other way. And I've had it twice already.
So wait a minute. You mean that nasty looking Pizza Hut with the hot dogs around it? That's what you guys want?
Tater tots in there, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Oh my god, that's gross. I'm twice your size and I won't even eat that shit. Holy shit, that's nasty. All right, well.
And, you know, I know you guys wanted to do donations. No donations. This is not a handout. Rage wants to participate. He's got to pay for his own food.
Like, I don't. He was the first one to donate initially, so I don't think he'll have.
That's true. I think he was like one of two people to donate.
Yeah, there was like three people, I think. But I don't think you'll have a problem with him donating. I don't.
Perfect. Double, that's what I love to hear.
Double A texting me. Oh Lord, what is he thinking? I don't know, boss. All I'm saying is. Is this is what's going down. You guys can all
one
discuss
this.
One
pie to a finish.
So the one pie will figure out. You have to eat the whole pie, right? So,
yeah, eat the whole pie.
So that's two pies. Because there's two pies you have to get. And there's nobody else eating that shit but you two knuckleheads.
It's just us two.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to join in the fun, they can get their pie.
Yeah. Or you guys could just drink a cup of grease. That's what it looks like. Nasty shit. That's nasty shit.
And you know what? I was pre-gaming today.
Pre-gaming?
Yes.
Hold on a second.
I was doing some training today, you know.
Hold on one second. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks is the co-host and the opponent of Mega Powers at Mega Slam, Rage. Hello, sir.
I am not eating that disgusting piece of shit pizza. I won't do it. We're going to have to negotiate something because I'm not doing it.
All right.
I'm not touching it.
Listen, Rage, you accepted my challenge. And I made the challenge of the hot dog crust pizza from Pizza Hut.
Oh my God. Why that? Why can't we have something authentic?
That is authentic.
Well,
no, it's not.
Listen.
That's authentic.
It's a real pizza. You said you wanted to get in on this, man. I thought you were serious about this.
That is authentic.
I thought you wanted to prove to everybody that you're the top eater. And you
that
can't steal this pizza?
That is an authentic best pizza. You know what? Fine, you got it.
All right, we'll work this out behind the scenes, and that's pretty much it. Rage, anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, I'm gonna kick your ass, David. just like I did.
Well,
you know,
you can come on next week and you can give your forum either in studio, or you can call in and you can talk your trash, and we'll have the contract signed next week.
No problem.
All right, brother.
Be there and be triangular.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'll be there.
All right. Later. All right. This is crazy. Hold on a second, man. My phone's blowing up like the World Trade over here. All right. Double A's texting me some alternatives. You guys got to take care of that behind the scenes. Ladies and gentlemen, now joining us, the co-host of The Rant every Tuesday night on Rant EM Radio, my friend and yours, Mr. Tony C. How are you, sir?
My name is Tony C, and I am here as the advocate for the reigning, defending, undisputed champion of, this is the Castle Slam, whatever this event is called, White Lightning himself, Mr. Dave Mega Powers. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
You know,
I hope you enjoyed your hiatus, your vacation. I hope you're well rested.
You know, it took me to get sick before I got well rested. But I'm glad to be back.
He's been eating Pizza Hut, apparently, to get all rested up.
No, actually, you know, I was pre-gaming today. I was training with Little Caesar's bacon crust pizza, deep dish pizza today, with a side of zesty Italian cheese bread.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes. We missed you, my friend. You were missed. It wasn't the same without you. I mean, it was good, but it was like kind of the Nitro episodes when Kevin Nash wasn't there, but, you know, Hollywood Hogan was there, you know, that type of thing.
You know, I understand your pain, Tony Clark. I was going through the same pains when I was at the New York Asian Film Festival. I'm like, what's Black Hammer doing? How could the France be coexisting without White Lightning and Black Hammer?
Exactly. You're right. The network waves were missing us, my friend. And now we're back. And we're better than ever.
And so, we're here to stay in the USA.
And you know that. And Rage, you're going down, my friend. That's all I can tell you.
And you know,
sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to apologize to Rage early. You know, that he's digging himself a grave that he won't be able to get up out of. So,
speaking of grave, Double A just said if Dave doesn't slow down, he's gonna drop from a heart attack before Mega Slam.
We have Phil. You have to have the defibrillator on deck for Rage.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I'm going to borrow one from the church. I actually just ordered some. This is no joke because I can't get one from the hospital. They won't lend it to me. I'll probably get one from the church.
Shall I bring the body bag?
Yeah, bring the body bag.
Put him in a body bag.
Yeah. And
Sidell is the referee.
I just ordered some new defibrillator pads because they were expired. So I don't want to use any expired equipment on my boys. God forbid I have to prepare a cardiac arrest, you know. So,
no word, man, I'm you know, after this, you know, I plan to hang up my stomach in retirement after I show Rage what good hard work is like in the US of A.
So
American is all about.
So Tony C, it's safe to say that you're putting your hat in, you're officially the advocate for Mega Powers in this,
I will be advocating on the air weekly and showly, for the White Lightning train coming to neighborhood near you, making a stop in the final stop destination, New York City at Phil's house.
Yep. Yep.
We're campaigning, Phil.
Okay.
It's this is the call to action campaign 2015.
Okay. Hey, listen, I ain't mad at you. I'm just, you know, getting my facts straight so I can prepare accordingly, you know.
Lesnar has Suplex City. We have White Lightning City Limits, baby.
White Lightning City Limits. Oh, I smell a t-shirt. That. I have a t-shirt in the works. I'm feeling that.
Ike will be there as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy that Dave stepped in. I just don't know, you know, I don't know if he can handle the girth and the appetite of Rage, man. I got to be honest with you.
Whatever White Lightning eats, he destroys.
Whatever he eats, he destroys. Mother bitch. I don't know, man.
Well, you know, I was channeling Tony C when I was at the Intrepid for that promo.
That was pretty epic.
Yeah.
Rage needs to come out with something to top that.
Well, right now he's got that cheesy ass Joker photo of him that everybody's laughing at. Not with him.
He is a Joker.
Hashtag Grape Ape.
You know, even Cesar Romero is laughing at this fool.
Yeah. The original.
And come August 23rd, you know, I know Rage supposedly has this dark hunger, this bottomless pit of a stomach. But we all know it's always the thin, skinny guys that get the job done. And I'm coming in with an appetite that will not be quenched even after August 23rd.
He's all excited.
Rage, and once you lose, once again, man, White Lightning will always have a spot for you within our organization.
Absolutely.
You know, I meant to ask you, what exactly does your organization do, Tony C? That you and Dave, what's
our organization? We go around from city to city, town to town, state to state, spreading nothing but red, white, and blue love through the nation.
Uh-oh.
If you get my drift.
I get your drift. And speaking of drifts, Matt E. Legend in the chat room is, apparently he's officially advocating for Rage. So not only does Dave have an advocate, but Rage has an advocate in Matt. Oh boy, this is getting serious now.
Listen, you know, I have no ill will against Matt. You know, he's not from this country, so he doesn't understand the hard work, the determination, the effort, the roots.
Jesus,
this fine country was built. Exactly.
Oh man,
it's okay.
He doesn't know anything about saying the prayers, eating the vitamins.
He's eating your pizza and the crust.
Oh man,
hot dogs
eating
in
the
it.
Pizza and the crust.
Don't do that to Matt, man. Don't do Matt like that. Matt's a boy, man. Come on now.
So Matt, I ain't mad at you. It's all right. We'll also have a place in our organization for you as well.
Oh.
And it'll be a lot higher than Rage's. We always
be higher than Rage's
PR guy.
Oh my God. This is getting out of hand.
We always need a PR guy, but Rage.
You will get benefits, Matt.
Fringe benefits, as Double A likes to say. A lot of perks.
Wow. Wow.
This is going to be epic. Everyone needs to tune in. August 23rd, Rage goes down quicker than a $2 whore on a Saturday night. Be there. I will be there co-hosting the pre-show with Double A, as well as advocating for the White Lightning.
Yeah, we're going to have play-by-play from myself and the Unsilent Majority. And you guys are going to be emceeing it. It's going to be insane.
And as I told Phil, Rage will say no mas.
No mas.
No mas. And Rage, if you don't know what no mas means, look up Roberto Duran, my friend.
Oh, see, now you're pissing off all the Canadians in the chat room. First you guys pick on the British, and now you've turned your hot fire to the Canadian contingency.
British Canadians.
Of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
It looks like they're sticking together. So us as pure White Lightning and Black Hammer human beings, we have to stick together, band together.
I can't wait till the boss gets back from Miami, from Rabenowitz and Rabenowitz. I want to see what the contract stipulations are going to be. I want to see what's at stake. Besides bragging rights, there's got to be something else at stake.
Don't worry. It's going to all work out. You know, we have no disrespect for our friends in Canada. They've brought us great stuff like Alan and Robin Thicke. And SCTV. So they're all right by us. You know, if Matt wants to back Rage, it's okay. It's his prerogative. It's his choice. You know, as we say in this land of opportunity, America, it's A-okay, brother.
Well,
but you will.
As
do what I got to do on August 23rd.
I got some
Decker Dome and Mega Slam.
I got some breaking news. I don't have. I got. You know what? Double A, send me some breaking news music when you get home. I got breaking news right now.
So Double A's always got the sounds.
Double A, Surfer, and Tony C are going to break down every scenario like an NFL pre-show. That's what he just announced. Analyzing all possible scenarios. So like Tony C, I can see this now. Double A is going to hype it. Tony C is going to break it down, and Surfer is going to be like the John Madden with Telestrator. It's gonna be pretty dope. So you guys got to check it out.
Now you see how Megapod folds the pizza, okay?
So, yeah, I definitely could see that happening. It's always good when everybody gets involved and we do a team
and
effort.
Phil, since you were talking about spots earlier, you know that got my creative juices flowing. My reminisce box going.
Uh-oh.
Not a liver spot.
Not any spot. Not my dog spot.
Not a spot on your back that you go see the dermatologist for.
Right.
Rage, we want you to put your spot on Freaks and Effing Geeks on the line for a week.
Whoa.
I think that should be in the contract. Double A, I have so much faith in Mega Powers. I think he can put his spot on Turnbuckle Throwbacks versus Raid spot.
Wait a second. We're giving up spots for a week? Is that what we're doing?
For a week.
So who's gonna cover? Does it matter who covers or just?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it can be
the host. The host of that show can request someone else to step in.
Wow.
A substitute.
My dog who hosts Freaks and Geeks.
Wow.
Lee.
Poor Lee.
Anyone can help Lee host that show. You know?
That's not true, man. Lee and Rage have a good chemistry.
But Double A, Phil, I think Mega Powers, I have so much confidence in him. I hope he agrees with me.
I absolutely agree. You know, I'm thinking if I win, I might even throw Dan Lopez a bone and have him host Freaks and Geeks.
Jesus Christ.
You know, nobody ain't going to give that guy a show.
Oh, man. Lopez? He's got a show.
Doing what?
He does his own podcast. Where the fuck have you been, man?
Been at the New York Asian Film Festival having a grand old...
Apparently, yeah. Lopez has his own show on the Midnight Jury's website, WLW.
Oh, come on. That's not a real podcast. Give me a break.
No. It's his show, man. He's got a couple under his belt already. If you weren't fucking around with the nips, you would have known that already, man. Jesus Christ, man. Catch up with the times, Mega Powers. All right.
Anyway, you know, I might throw Dan Lopez a bone and let him host a real show. Or a quasi-real show.
Oh, man.
On a real network.
Oh, Jesus, help us all. Pastor, if you're in the room, I need some prayer, man. Pastor, if you're in the room, I need some prayer. Hook a brother up. Exercise these demons.
We are throwing down the gauntlet to you, Rage. And if you got any testicular fortitude, you will put up or shut up.
Oh, man. This is getting out of hand, huh?
Hot dog crust pizza from Pizza Hut.
That's gross.
So, in closing, I just want to say on behalf of the Mega Powers, White Lightning, and Black Hammer and White Lightning Incorporated, comma LLC, we've laid down the gauntlet. Double A, if you can add that bit of stipulation into the contract, let's see if Rage is gonna barbecue or mildew.
I said a terrible ethnic slur and nip before. I apologize. It just sounded funny. I guess I am living in a World War II era, Matt. Hashtag slap a jap. Oh man, I
wanted to call in, say what's up to my partner in crime, Mega Powers, and of course, do you feel you are the man, the myth, the legend? Of course.
Thank you, sir.
Mega Powers is the way, the truth, and the light.
Wow.
So.
And the red, white, and blue running through your veins.
Yes, sir. Oh,
man. I need some boots to step in this shit, man. This is awesome.
You know, I want to throw out to Tony C as well. You know, tomorrow tickets are on sale for a certain show down in Brooklyn.
Oh, actually today, sir.
What?
It's actually today. They went on sale today.
I was on the website. It said tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. The pre-sale was today. Yeah, we'll probably go into that, the kid and I. Why, what's up? What were you going
to
say?
If Tony C wants to come down, I might have an extra ticket for him.
Man, that means Tony C would have to stay the whole weekend. I don't think his wife should let him do that.
It's up to Tony C.
Wow.
Since he can't go to the NXT show that's an hour away from his house.
He's going to come all the way to Brooklyn? That's awesome.
Well, actually, White Lightning, I am going to shell out the big bucks, not only this year, to go to this upcoming Royal Rumble, which will be here in my backyard. So. Then we have WrestleMania 33 that's going to be right here in my backyard. So I will be attending those. I have to step my wrestling events up. But, you know, Raw isn't that good unless, you know, the Beast is coming, then I'm going. So
Jesus.
That's
we all know what you did to our boy Kofi.
Well, actually, he took it easy on Kofi, if you ask me.
Yeah, because he was dancing on Raw 2 days later.
He took it easy on Kofi. My wife watched the Cena-Lesnar match from SummerSlam and almost shed a tear. So I felt kind of good for Kofi. So all that being said, Mega Powers, it's great to have you back. Phil, much love for having me, allowing me to call in and
always
touch base with my partner in crime there.
Yes, and before the year's end,
truths.
let's be honest. By the end of this year, we need to have a Black Hammer White Lightning show. So you guys need to work that out.
I agree.
With the rant. And we need to have you guys need to do like an hour or two. It'd be hysterical.
If we do that, you think Freaks and F and Geeks would get emails and Facebook messages?
Yeah, listen.
A lot of ours would come from overseas and from different nationalities.
You guys would, yeah. You guys would be all right together. I might be in trouble if you guys get together.
No. You are the man. You are like Beyonce's song. You're irreplaceable.
I'm irreplaceable? Man. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Tony C, thank you so much for calling in tonight. Thank you.
And I appreciate you allowing me to open forum. And, you know, much love to you and Dave. And you guys go ahead and rock out.
We are. Absolutely.
Hey man, it's good to be back. It's good to have the Black Hammer back in my corner for one more time for Mega Slam, and it will be a Mega Slam indeed. The ropes are gonna break, the ring's gonna shatter, the floor in Phil's house is gonna fall beneath our feet.
I hope not, because
I'm gonna slam.
It's made expensive.
Rage right into the Earth's equator. The crust is gonna decimate. It's gonna be a happening.
Tony C, I'll catch up with you on Sunday.
The toilet in Phil's house is going to explode.
Come on, man. My house is mad old. Don't be breaking shit in my house. What's wrong with you? The house is almost 100 right, years old, man. Tony, I'll catch up with you on Sunday, man. I'll see you Sunday.
Later, fellas.
All right, be good, man.
Have a great night, man. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Holy shit. So, there it is. There it is. All the cards are on the table. All the pleasantries are almost out. Next week, we'll have the contract signing live, 9 p.m. I think it's the 24th. Yeah, because the 25th, I'll be going to Def Leppard, baby. What?
Nice.
So July 24th, 2015, in an epic episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, as Mega Slam is born and will be solidified in ink. And hopefully not in blood. and all promos will be exchanged. Shit talking will be commencing. And I expect this to be an epic couple of months on Rant EM Radio.
Listen, man, I can't be held responsible for any of the damages that are going to happen to the Decker Dome on August 23rd. It will be an epic battle. Pizza will be eaten. Tears will be shed.
Speaking of pizza, I got a solution. Oh, Double A does. How about Rage has to eat a pie that Dave wants, and Dave has to eat a pie that Rage wants? How about that? This way, you know. Well, you guys can work that out.
We'll discuss. If anything, right now, he has presently accepted my challenge for the Pizza Hut hot dog crust pizza.
Ugh.
One pie to a finish.
Jesus. All right. Okay, so that's all done. That's 44 minutes I won't get back, but I'm glad to have you back. I'm glad to – and dude, there was some hockey talk in the chat room. I'm always down with that. I forgot there's more than one Canuck in the room. All right. So you haven't watched any wrestling, you said, except for the July 4th event. Are you excited all for Battleground or no?
I don't really know too much of what's happening at Battleground. I really want to I want to watch New Japan's Dominion. I didn't get to watch that.
Let's see.
I heard there were some title changes. Kushida's got the IWGP Junior title. Okada beat Styles for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and I heard it was a stellar event, and I wanted to check it out. So I'm more excited to see that than Battleground. Also, G1 is coming up on actually 3 days from now.
Yes, G1 is starting in 3 days. Speaking of New Japan, Jushin Thunder Liger is coming to NXT.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, good thing you told me about these pre-sale tickets. I got to jump on that tonight after the show.
So I'm assuming you're going.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because that's the thing, man. Did you see the ROH card the same night in Brooklyn?
What's going down?
Oh, man. I announced it last week on, hold on a minute. I'll pull up the matches so far. But, dude, they got to still, I was going to let Mikey pick it, but I might have to just, I don't know. Dude, check this out. Match is already signed. Mark, the Briscoes are fighting the Time Splitters. Jay Lethal and Nakamura are going to fight Red Dragon. Yeah. Okada versus Roderick Strong. Killer Elite Squad versus War Machine, Hanson and Rowe. And then everybody else is scheduled to appear. Roppongi Vice, The Kingdom, Adam Cole, ACH, Michael Elgin, The Addiction, The Bucks, Seidel, Moose, Donovan Dijak, Cedric Alexander, Adam Page, Dalton Castle, and Silas Young.
Is this the same day or
same
day?
Fucking day, man?
Oh, come on!
That's what I'm saying. Like I'm torn. I was talking to Felonious and a bunch of the dudes the other day on Facebook. Mikey's a smart kid. I was gonna let Mikey pick. So my wife's like, "Oh, just what are you letting an 8-year old pick? We'll pick the cheaper seat. We'll pick the cheaper event." I'm like, "It's the same price. We're gonna sit in the cheap seats anyway." You know, you'll pay more service tax with Ticketmaster through Barclays.
Yeah. Oh, Barclays, I know those tickets are going to be sky high. But You know, this is a first. So, right now, I'm kind of on the side of NXT. I want to check that out. You know, granted, I have seen a bunch of these guys a bunch of times. Actually, I gotten to see a bunch of those guys at the ROH show a bunch of times, too. But this is going to be a new exploration. So, I'm kind of interested in this right now, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, Pastor, are you trash-talking my Mets as Noah Syndergaard is pitching a three-hitter against your Cardinals right now? You better chickity check yourself before you wreck yourself. Yeah, we're definitely leaning towards NXT, you know?
Yeah.
But that Ring of Honor card, dude, Okada and Roderick Strong alone, are you kidding me? That's going to be insane. Roddy's on a roll lately. I don't know, man. But yeah, NXT, Jushin Thunder Liger in Brooklyn, Owens, Bala. I don't know. All right, let's preview the Battleground card really quick. Let's see. Owens is going to fight Cena for the U.S. title. King Barrett's fighting in the kickoff against R-Truth. Nobody cares. Randy Orton's fighting Sheamus. The New Day are going to be going up against the primetime players for the tag straps. I believe it's for the tag straps. And, of course, Brock versus Seth Rollins for the championship. So, there's your card on Sunday. You want to check out all the stuff. Ryback's injured. The IC champ is injured. He sustained an injury during his tag team match on Raw this past Monday. So, he's going to be on the shelf for a while. I don't know how long. What else is going on? Possible matches for NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. Finn Balor and Kevin Owens. Bayley versus Sasha Banks. I love Bayley. Bayley's got some rack on her, man. She wears that sports bra to harness him, those big kazunas, you know?
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze is going to fight Jushin Thunder Liger? That's going to be insane. That dude's pretty good.
Oh, shit.
Oh, the Cardinals finally scored. Good for them. Baron Corbin versus Samoa Joe. So we get Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Titties and Banks, and Jushin Thunder Liger all in one shot so far.
Wow.
That's going to be some stuff, man.
Shit. They, damn. Already, the best seats available are, like, in the,
200s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't even, that's not, for me, that's not very enjoyable.
Yeah. Well.
Are those seats any good?
I've never been to the venue, so I don't know.
So the nosebleed seats, right?
Yeah, I've never been to the venue, so I don't know. I'm going to.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Might have to go to ROH now.
Well. That's the thing, man. I'm going to leave it up to the kid, but I'm leaning towards Brooklyn, man. I got to be honest with you. Mm. So.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah. I just like, because Ring of Honor will come back one more time in December, obviously.
Yeah.
They do Final Battle here all the time, but, like, that just, see, like, I was telling my wife the other night, I'm like, you got to realize something. I said, she's what about they're making it, so she was reading the internet, like, they're making a big deal about this Liger guy coming over. I'm like, yeah, but you got to see the Nakamura's coming and Okada and all these guys are coming to, back to the States for Ring of Honor. So it's either way, you're going to get a good card. And Ring of Honor is a bit more intimate because you're only dealing with, you know, 7,500 seats, I think it is, or something like that in that stadium. Yeah. And, you know, that caught, dude, even the time split is versus the Briscoes.
That's going to be insane. Well, there was already two Motor City Machine Guns versus Briscoe Brothers matches in the past, and those were off the chain insane. So I can only imagine what the time splitters, you know, versus the Briscoes is going to be. You know, these guys are more seasoned. They got more gold and more victory to their belt. I can only imagine how that match is going to be. Actually, I'm starting to lean more towards the time splitters over Motor City Machine Guns. Those guys are so, like, fluid as a team. It's insane.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think with Liger going to the E for the NXT event, is he more of a free agent or is New Japan now working with the E as well?
I don't necessarily think that the WWE is working with New Japan, but, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, do wrestle for other organizations, as you've seen. You know, obviously a bunch of New Japan guys are in ROH, and there's going to be a bunch of New Japan guys in Revolution Pro in the UK. And Liger, you know, he makes the rounds all over the place. You know, I've seen him in Jersey All-Pro. He's done, like, all these kind of, like, no-name, you know, Mexican federations in Los Angeles. You know, he's all over the place. So I don't necessarily think that it's a New Japan deal. This could be leading into having him in the Hall of Fame. So that's something to consider. I'm surprised nobody has said anything about that.
Well,
the strong considerations, they bring Tatsumi Fujinami for last year, and I think they may have titled it like an international wing or something like that for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, he just signed a Legends contract, actually.
Yeah.
So maybe if Liga signs one, that's insane. Listen, the guy's been wrestling for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and he's one of probably in top five most recognized international wrestlers in the world.
Absolutely.
So next to Great Muta and Fujinami and Baba and, you know, those other guys. But I don't know, man. It's got me thinking the whole week. I was dying to ask you. I was like, what, when they announced it, I was dying to ask you. I was like, I wonder if because can you imagine? Just think about the ramifications if the E starts sending some of the guys over to Japan, even if it's the NXT guys. Can you imagine? You know, guys like Tyler Breeze or Kevin Owens, or if you get Finn Balor back in New Japan fighting against Kenny Omega or somebody like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So, like, I could see, you know, if Triple H is really hands-on with NXT and he gets a working agreement with – you know, Liger's got crazy pull over there, you know?
Absolutely. He guy's been a booker over there. He's the junior legend over there.
Right. So I think, like, if Triple H is smart, and so far he's been amazing with the growth of the company in terms of NXT and talent. The other stuff has a lot to be desired, but then again, he's not.
Yeah.
He's only really hands on fully with NXT. So. I'm just feeling like it. If this is something and people are marking out, people are going crazy when the announcement dropped. I was getting messages like crazy. I'm like, oh man, I hope Dave is seeing this, because at that point I haven't spoken to you yet about it. And I was like, dude, I'm being a kid again. I'm just thinking about the ramifications if they get a working agreement, they send some of those guys, even the girls, you know, like just to see an NXT women's match on New Japan be pretty awesome, you know?
Well, they don't have any women.
They don't have any women. That's the whole thing.
But,
yeah, they don't.
But what's it called? Did you get to see the match on Wednesday? The Sasha Banks versus Charlotte for the NXT women's title?
I saw it last night.
How sick was that match?
That was pretty dope. And you know, Charlotte, I'm not a big fan of Charlotte, but she's come a long way, man.
Yeah.
She's come a long way. And I think the girls are now going to step their game up. I think the whole locker room stepping their game up because of Dusty's passing. Because that was this was all Dusty's bag. You know what I'm saying?
It was their it was his children. You know?
Yeah. So I think it's now the stakes are higher. You're going to see them show up on Raw now a little more. I think WWE has but no choice but to start promoting and revolving the door with these guys and girls coming in and out, because you have to keep it fresh. It's getting super stale, and it's getting to the point where people are pissed off about it anyway.
Well, dude, look at it this way. Barclays Center is filling up for the NXT TakeOver pay-per-view.
And Raw's going to be there, too. And Raw's going to be there, too.
Who?
Raw, the night after SummerSlam.
Oh, shit.
So, it's stuff's going to have to start happening to get the juices flowing again. People are loving NXT, and you start putting these people on TV, and you're going to start seeing some better results. You're going to start seeing better matches. You might even get these bullshit writers to write better stories for them. So, that being said, I'm very, very excited for the next month of wrestling between G1 and NXT and SummerSlam and ROH, and PWS is having some good stuff coming up. So, I mean, a lot of good shit's going on. A lot of good shit's going on. So stay tuned.
Indeed.
Stay tuned. Dave and I will give you our expertise and our opinions and our, I don't know, whatever, and our rants, because we normally go into a rant at one point about something. So, all right, let's take a quick break. plug our friends. Hold on a second. Let me get this queued up. Anything else on New Japan before I?
Just the G1 that's coming up. The only other news I wanted to bring up was I've been having a ball watching Virgil's Instagram, which is legit Virgil. It's called, I think it's the real _ Virgil.
Oh yeah,
check him out. And he has a GoFundMe to make him a real millionaire. So if you want to donate to Virgil to make him an actual millionaire, you can donate money to Virgil today on GoFundMe.
Piece of shit. Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. I went on a rant about people begging for money on GoFundMe.
Well, that's the thing, you know, people. Well, you know, I think it's jumped the shark for asking for money online, because, you know, if you don't have the following, you don't have like the backing for it in the first place, you're not going to get the cash. Guys like Virgil, come on, man! Like it's just him asking for money. I know the people that have already given him money are just giving him money because they think it's funny, and that's that. Like, there's no, I don't think there's even any like perks to it. But my thought is like, the reason why this is all happening now is they're trying to make like Virgil like the next Iron Sheik or something like that. So, you know, this could just be, you know, a play just to you know, boost interest in Virgil, which I think the dude is funny because he sounds like he's out of his fucking mind. But, you know, honestly, would I give Virgil money? No, absolutely not.
I'm sorry, dude. I just think asking for money is in poor taste when you don't have to, you know? Yeah. That's just how it is.
Support his Under Armour shirt wardrobe, his Under Armour fetish.
Or that, or his fucking, the 8x10s that he sells at his table that he sneaks into.
Yeah.
So
I did think there was a pretty funny photo he had up of, like, it looked like some sort of, like, Civil War recreation, like, scene, and it had the photo, like photoshopped of, like, the Lonely Virgil photo table of him photoshopped onto this, like, Civil War recreation field. And, like, the caption said, "I know where the money's at."
That's funny. Oh, boy. All right.
Apparently he loves the Olive Garden.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live, rantingradio.com. Let's play some stuff with the whistle, and we got a kick-ass throwback for you tonight, so stay tuned.
Consideration paid for by the following.
Can I get one of those woo tickets?
Excuse me?
One of those woo tickets.
It's not woo, it's woo!
Woo!
Woo! Introducing Ric Flair's new woo! Scratch-off ticket for the North Carolina Educational Lottery with a top prize of $100,000. It's enough to make anyone say, woo!
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 Woo! Woo!
No matter where you are, with bum rustlers, it's just like being in a wrestling ring. With Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
1, 2, 3, pin!
Wherever you are, it's like real wrestling action. With Junkyard Dog and Bulldog. Bum rustle anywhere with Hulk and the Iron Sheik.
Okay, kids, back to class.
Rustle anywhere with wrestling superstars, bum rustlers, new from LJN.
Every Friday, the 80s and 90s are back on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio, The Jury transports you back to the days of Walkmans, VHS, arcades, and malls. Covering the best in pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror, from reviews to interviews and everything in between, we want you to get on board every Friday and travel back to the last old-school generation. The Midnight Jury is a production of WLWStudios.com and a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Played that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
Nah, I only hit her one time.
He said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Nutty is more of a man than rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colin Show. Yes, sir.
That was all so right. Disrespectful.
All right.
Nah, Steve, I can't have you.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
Trying to help out.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
This is Matt from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and when you're done with this episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Dave, I bring a body bag to a Hotel Powers. Head on over to ShiningWizards.com, check out the latest from us. We will either make you hate us or make you love us, if that makes sense. ShiningWizards.com.
Yeah, buddy.
Some specials.
Goddamn right. Produced by Elvis Costello. Love the specials.
Great self-titled album.
Yep. My aunt had this on vinyl when I was a kid, man. I thought it was like the coolest thing. I guess I was always infatuated with horns. Like I love a good horn section. That's why I like ska so much, you know? Mm. I like, and I'm pissed that the Boss Tones played Thursday night, or Wednesday night, I think. Wednesday or Thursday night, I forget, at the Webster Hall, and I didn't even know that they were there. I was so pissed. I would have saw them. I love the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Mm.
So, all right. Welcome back. All right.
We'll be back. Oh, did you check out, My latest film to my collection.
The Great Khali thing?
Yes.
That's hysterical, by the way. I saw that this morning.
Yeah, a friend of mine last night hooked me up with he's like, oh, you know, I forgot to give you your birthday gift. And I'm like, it's like 7 months since my birthday. He's like, yeah, you know, I've been late on this one, but I meant to give it to you. He's like, you know, I know how much you love wrestling and Bollywood movies, so he hooked me up with the Great Khali's film Kushti, which I'll probably be watching right after the show tonight.
So is it subtitled at least?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
They're always subtitled.
What's the premise of the film, if you don't mind me asking?
I'll just read the first line, which is all you really need to know. Kushti is set in a village in North India, notorious for its obsession with wrestling. And I'll leave you all with a review next week.
I'm looking forward to it, my friend.
That's all you need to know right now.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our throw. You know what? I haven't played our... hold on, let me get it queued up. But we haven't done a throwback in a while, man. Because I took a week off, and then you had 2 weeks off after that. So I have to find my, I don't even know if I still have it anymore. I mean, I have it, but I don't know. So, but anyway, yeah, we haven't done one in a while, dude. And we had this picked out for like a month.
Yeah.
And I was happy because, I mean, it's the anniversary of this week anyway. So, what the hell
perfect
is
perfect timing.
Yeah. Give me 1 second. Got to break down for my birthday and get myself that fucking, that board. Give me 1 second. Talk amongst yourselves. No. I'm joking. Let's see.
You're getting the song?
No, I'm trying to find my throwbacks of the week, man. Of the week thingy.
It should be primed and ready to go.
Shut up. All right. Hold on a second. Here we go. Let's do it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Is it the anniversary of Brody's death today? On my niece's birthday? And our boy Steve Milan?
Damn.
Is it really? Oh. Well, we celebrate Brody's life every day on the show.
Absolutely.
He gets all the love from Turnbuckle Throwbacks from Jump Street. Okay. So, tonight's throwback, for me anyway, is probably, and I've seen some weird shit in wrestling. I've been watching wrestling since 1983, so I've seen some shit. Okay, and since Dave's been on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, he has seen some shit.
We've all seen some shit.
We've all seen some shit.
Mountains of shit.
That just throw you off for a loop all the time. Okay? And I found out about this, I want to say, 1996 or 7, before YouTube. Someone had a videotape of it. A friend of mine's cousin, like, he's like, oh, you, I got this wrestling tape. And I was like, okay. And, like, it's VHS, like, one of them 8-hour tapes. And, he pops it in. And it was weird because the tape at this point was like 12 years old, you know? And I heard this.
In early 80s, Georgia Championship Wrestling later.
Wait, not that. Hold on a second. I went too far. Hold on a minute. Not that guy. That guy's a dick. Okay, here we go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to World Championship Wrestling. On behalf of WTBS, it's a pleasure to welcome the World Wrestling Federation. Exciting new matches, great competitors from all over the world. And here's the man to tell you all about it. Here's Vince McMahon.
See? Right there, yeah. I almost fell off the chair. Like, really? It's the world championship. It's the WCW Georgia Wrestling banner behind this guy, this Jamoke, right? And he brings out Vince McMahon.
Vince, thank you very much, Freddie.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. It is indeed a pleasure to be associated with WTBS, and we promise to bring you the greatest in professional wrestling entertainment in the world today. We will have this week, as a matter of fact, exclusive footage on a matchup involving the Iron Sheik, who hails from Tehran, Iran. Also on hand, Adrian Adonis and his tag team partner, Dick Murdoch, the reigning World Wrestling Federation tag team champions, will be with us. And then from there, a man who claims to have the most impressive physique in all of professional wrestling, Jesse the Body Ventura. And then from there, speaking of impressive, we shall have all 6 feet 10 inches of giant-like Big John Studd, who tips the scales very close to the 364-pound mark. Plus, special interviews on Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff and a great deal more. So we'll be right back as we will open up with our very first matchup involving the tag team champions in a moment.
Now, weird enough to see that. We're talking about, obviously, Black Saturday, July 14th, 1984. From
way
the stupor.
Way before the WWF, WCW simulcast.
Yeah. Listen, you have to understand something. This was before the boom. Okay? This was before WrestleMania. This was the... And you're still in cable TV still in its infancy. Is that safe to say?
Yeah.
And all Vince was trying to do was get the product out there. You know, just to get his feet wet, you know? So
he was trying to go nationwide, have WWF be a household name.
Yeah.
And, you know, what better than to take the coveted 605 Saturday spot on the Superstation WTBS that Georgia Championship Wrestling had for its then show, World Championship Wrestling.
Right. So now you have to understand something. Georgia Championship Wrestling has been going on at this point since 72. Like Dave mentioned, it was the 605 to 805 spot every Saturday night. Of course, we all know in 76, Georgia Championship Wrestling became the first NWA territory to earn cable television nationally.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, of course, then you renamed it the Superstation and whatever in 82. 2 years prior to this, they changed the name of it to World Championship Wrestling. The Briscoes had a stake in the organization. Ole Anderson was the head booker at this point. Uncle Ole, as Tony C calls him. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Gordon Solie, was mostly the host of it.
With Freddie Miller.
With Fred Miller,
with,
right.
Who gave the reins over to Mr. McMahon.
Right.
On this debut episode of WWE's or WWF's World Championship Wrestling.
So... You know, we in 83, when Vince took over, pretty much, when Vince got full control in 83. So he's only had the company for about a year at this point.
Yeah.
He wants to expand the brand. He purchased the Southwest Championship spot from USA to get All-American Wrestling. I didn't get All-American Wrestling all the time. I got Superstars and Wrestling Challenge locally here. You might have gotten All-American Wrestling in your part of the world. Because I think at that point, Jersey had way more cable than New York did. But you were too young to realize that anyway. So,
way too young.
Yeah. So, you know, and then he got the syndicated stuff for, like I said, All-Stars and Championship Wrestling. Championship Wrestling was the 6 o'clock spot. Then you had Wrestling Challenge, Wrestling Superstars after that. In 84 now he wants to expand and again it was weird. Like, you know, Vince like tried to cut this deal with the Briscoes and Jim Barnett, who was the other owner. And they wanted to do like a sale thing, you know.
Well, the deal was Georgia Championship Wrestling was according to the Briscoes, it was doing fine, you know, really, really good financially. But a lot of the people that were backing it up, who was actually, it was them. I got the list of names right here. Jim Barnett, Bill Watts, Fred Ward, two of his son-in-laws. I also believe an old wrestling vet by the name of Paul Jones, and not the one that we...
Not number one Paul Jones, the promoter Paul Jones.
Yeah, the promoter Paul Jones. They all had stakes in Georgia Championship Wrestling. Now, this is kind of confusing for me because I'm wondering, you know, if these guys were doing great, you know, financially for the shows, how come the people that were investing in it not making any money? That makes no sense to me. Unless, you know... It seemed like the sore point, the thing that brought everybody to just hate, you know, that just wanted to sell their shares was Ole Anderson, who was in charge of booking. It seemed like that was the vital point right there, you know, according to the Briscoes, at least, that, you know, they wanted to sell their shares and get rid of Georgia Championship Wrestling, so it's out of the reins of Ole Anderson, who I'm guessing is making the money.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know for sure, but you know, it's always kind of funny when you read about you know, the territory system and, you know, guys making money because it was always like the promoter just in it for themselves. They were trying to make the money for themselves, you know, trying to lowball like any of the talents, you know, even some of the top guys. You'll hear some like horror stories about guys who they were at the top, but you know, they weren't getting paid what, you know, the guy at the top should be getting paid. But as crazy of a business as wrestling is, you know, everybody's got their opinions and thoughts of what the truth is and, you know, how things should have been run. But right now we're going off of the Briscoe brothers' opinion. And basically they were kind of in a situation where, you know, they wanted to sell their shares. And Ole Anderson was just doing his thing with the business. Of course, apparently it wasn't too much different than WCW later on. And, you know, it was kind of chaos in the back. Regardless of how well the shows were doing, there wasn't any solidarity between the guys in the locker room and the people that were investing in this company. And it came to a point where the guys, who had a majority hold on the company, which was the Briscoe brothers, wanted to sell. But, you know, they had a certain percentage, and they needed to bring it up to 50% before they could actually sell it off to Vince McMahon, who... Funny enough, they got a hold of when they were trying to figure out, like, they had overheard through the grapevine that Rowdy Piper had severed the nerves in his fingers and, you know, would lose functioning of his hand. So they wanted to get a hold of somebody to find out, you know, was this true? And, of course, they contacted Mr. McMahon, who was, of course, trying to jump on getting them as a tag team to come to the WWF. So initially, when they had their conversation, Jim Crockett was in the room with them. So due to that, you know, they said that they weren't available for any bookings and, you know, politely waited until they were far away from Jim Crockett to have this conversation. So they had the conversation and they brought up that they were looking to sell their share of Georgia Championship Wrestling. And it seemed like it wasn't that hard of a sell for them to get some of the other promoters to jump in, most notably Paul Jones, which is supposedly is the guy that put them over the 50 percentage point. And from there, the deal was made in a conference room in LaGuardia Airport a few days later. Or actually, not. I think they had the meeting like a few days later, and then over 6 months, the deal came to fruition. And the very first Black Saturday had come upon the superstation WTBS, and I think a lot of people will say that the buying of WCW in 2001 wasn't. All that of an eventful kind of thing. It was like a huge event, but what came after, you know, the invasion angle wasn't incredible.
It didn't live up to the hype. And I'm going to tell you my theory about the whole Piper thing, okay? Because Piper was already in the E at this point, okay? Piper came in late 83 with Dr. D. David Schultz, okay?
Yeah.
So I think... Me personally, I think once Crockett and all those other and Briscoe and them found out that Vince was now starting to cherry pick guys from the territories, the whole deal at this point was, I think Vince pretty much not. I think he inadvertently sabotaged himself because you know you buy this slot with no guarantee.
Yeah.
When you hear, like, you heard that side of the story, but then you hear Vince's side, well, you know, everything was a handshake and, you know, it didn't last very long.
No, I think it only lasted about 4 months.
Right. So, like, you're talking maybe not even 20 episodes?
Not even, no.
Right? So, like, at that point, it's 84. At that point, he got Stud, he got Bundy, he got Orndorff, he got Piper, Schultz. Barry Windham, Mike Rotundo, like he had all these guys, Iron Cheek, he had all these guys.
Yeah.
So Big John, I mean, it was just crazy. And then he got Jimmy Hart and Bobby Heenan, and I mean, he got all these guys. So now he's just cherry picking. But the Piper thing was definitely the let's have the conversation somewhere else, because at that point, Piper, there was nothing wrong with Piper. The only thing that was wrong with him that he lost. Hearing earlier in that year, the year prior with the dog collar match with him and Valentine from Starrcade. Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, he already had fulfilled whatever commitment.
Yeah, he debuted in 84, so yeah.
Right. No, not well, earlier than that.
He did, really.
Yeah, because he had, when I first, my first viewings of WWF, the first thing I saw was Piper as a manager to Dr. D. David Schultz. And that was like late 83, maybe early 84. I was seven, but, you know, I'm trying to get my shit together. I was trying to remember this, and my mom couldn't remember either. I was talking to her the other day. And I was like, I remember, because we talk about sometimes, and my mom's great. My mom will randomly just blurt out shit that she forgot for 20 years, you know? So I was hoping she'd have some insight on my first viewings, but I was kind of a latchkey kid at that point, so I caught a lot of it on my own. But needless to say, I think the Piper thing, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I had it in my notes here, and I'm like, I just hope because I think that played a major role in the outcome of all this, you know?
Yeah.
So this was the first one, the first of, like Dave said, not even maybe 18 or 16 episodes.
There's like 4 weeks in a month, so it lasted
4 months.
From what I've heard, it lasted 4 months.
Right.
So they started mid-July, so maybe like 12, 13, 14 episodes maybe?
Yeah. And I got... Yeah. And then on top of that, the ratings were a disaster because people who are used to Georgia were like, what the fuck is this?
Pre-taped wrestling, nothing live in a studio because they were used to seeing stuff in a studio. Apparently, Vince McMahon had an agreement that he would do studio wrestling, that he would have...
which was a handshake agreement. Nothing was put in contract.
And, he backed out on his agreement, did what he wanted to do, which was... He more or less was trying to make... World Championship Wrestling, like another clip show, like an All-American Wrestling or, kind of like a Primetime Wrestling or something like that, where it was just another show, it had clips, it had the house show matches, nothing special, just jobbers, stuff like that. Granted, Georgia Championship Wrestling had jobber matches, but,
yeah,
it was a completely different style. At least, when you watch some of these old World Championship Wrestling episodes on the Superstation, there were wrestling matches. Even if it was like some sort of jobber, there would be some sort of competition between the two parties, and you weren't really seeing much of that on WWF.
Yeah. So again, like I said, all the stuff was a handshake, and nothing was put forth. A lot of offers were made, and the reception was not well at all.
Like, well, not only that, but what was it? Ted Turner even, tried to sabotage the show as well. Even though it was on his network, he put a different wrestling show on Saturday morning, and he also put, I believe, Mid-South on Sunday.
Yeah.
So he put out some really heavy hitter shows that actually outdid the WWF in ratings. And they had tons of people writing into the station saying that they wanted Georgia Championship Wrestling back.
Yeah,
on television. And additionally, I know Ole Anderson, was one of the guys that created a championship wrestling from Georgia, to get those fans back that weren't tuning in, tuning into the WWF at the time.
Yeah,
at the time, so they can jump back to Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Yep. So, the reception's bad, and everybody is in a tizzy. Nothing's going as the plan. Now, and like I mentioned before, you have to understand something. Georgia Championship Wrestling was the first nationally televised wrestling show. Everything else on TV was regional. Sometimes you'd get it stretched out. Like, you'd get Mid-South on here once in a while. You would get, USA had the South, Joe Blanchard Southwest Championship Wrestling. But everything else was regional on television. This was the first, which is why Vince got his hands dirty in it. He wanted to, he wanted to get his ding out. He wanted to get his baby out there,
Well, hey, if this is, this was a nationally televised wrestling show, WWF had its audience in the Northeast, but you know, he was a smart dude. He knew he had to branch out and get into other territories. You know, why do you think, actually, was it on that same episode? There's a Jesse the Body Ventura squash match.
Yeah, we'll get into the matches in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to throw this out there real quick. But it's in Minnesota, and he was a top draw in Minnesota, and, you know, the kicker.
He was on his way out anyway, so.
Yeah, but they made the ring to look like an AWA ring.
Well, it's funny because AWA debuted on ESPN the year after that.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, ESPN got, a year after that, they got World Class, and then they got the USWA, and then they got Global, and then Herb Abrams UWF, and we had Sports Channel by then. So by 94, none of these companies were in business with the exception of the USWA, which folded 96 or 7. And then, of course, you had ECW and whatever. But the other programs Vince had were unaffected. Like, he already had the syndicated thing going on with USA. He started doing primetime wrestling, you know. Yeah. But this started. This was bigger than the fucking TakeOver No. 1. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, this had more of a significant impact only because of the cable being in its infancy, bro. I don't think it's a thing where, like, it was it amazing that Vince monopolized it at one point? And you thought about all the wrestlers. Like, as soon as we found out Vince was buying the company, WCW, we all thought that, you know, we were going to see Sting and Luger and Flair on WWF, on Raw and SmackDown, right? Didn't we all think that?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't expect to see Booker T blow up the way he did, but I'm not mad. I love, you know, I'm a big Booker T mark anyway.
Well, I think for him, he was just kind of like one of those dudes who, you know, we talked about this on the show. As a tag team, they were a great tag team, Harlem Heat. But I don't think anybody really could have guessed that his singles run would have, like, outshadowed that tag team.
Yeah, and they were a good tag team. So, like, the ramifications, or not the ramifications, the thought process I had at that point was like, Mal, you know, Vince has his whole roster. You know, he could have had Buff, he could have had all these guys. He didn't take a third of them. He had Diamond Dallas Page for a while. He didn't, you know, of course we know the whole story with Sting.
Yeah.
You know, he only took a few guys. So again, he cherry picked because of what he felt to fill the voids. Now, this here on Black Saturday was also more significant because nothing was contracted.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a thing where, okay, we'll sign this waiver and we'll play your show and you give us studio time and clips. And he said, okay, and didn't come through with it.
No, he just did his own thing.
Right. So,
well, he did do some studio matches. I haven't seen any of those episodes. I've only seen the one Black Saturday. But supposedly there were a few episodes where there actually was some studio wrestling.
But not
probably as, giving it to pressure, but still.
Right, but not as promised. Yeah.
Just making it a clip show.
It wasn't like they did with the NWA where you'd have a couple of clips and then you would have, you know, live wrestling in studio, you know. It wasn't, yeah. And that's what they wanted, and Vince.
Well, you know, WWF did studio wrestling, but you could tell with the shows that were coming out around, you know, the 84 time that they were just filming a lot of their house shows in arenas, which, you know, to be honest, looked cooler because, well, it also kind of gave away, you know, it could go either way. You know, when you watch a show like World Championship Wrestling, whether it's Jim Crockett Promotions or Georgia Championship Wrestling or whatnot, you had the studio stuff. Occasionally they would show you something from an arena just to get you hyped up, and it would always be some sort of, like, a clip of a big match, a big blow-off match, or some sort of controversial match. But you wouldn't watch the full match, or very rarely would you see a full match from an arena. So WWF was giving you the full arena matches. They weren't always the best matches, but they were from the arena. You got to see the packed, capacity crowd for their event. Whether it was a jobber match, which was normally the case, or for the one big match that would be at the end of the show. And so, you know, there were some interesting dynamics to it. You know, Georgia Championship Wrestling. You'd get a bunch of jobber matches inside of a studio, which was a bit more intimate and exciting. WWE, or WWF rather, you would get the jobber matches, but inside of a packed stadium with one big blow-off match at the end of the episode.
Okay. And that's pretty much where that went. So you want to just talk about some of the matches that... Well, I'm not going to do it. We're not going to cover every match, but you want to talk about...
Yeah, there's only like a few matches so for the first episode.
So the first match was... your tag team champions, Adonis and Murdoch. At this point, we talked about the North-South connection.
Yeah.
Teaming up against SD Jones and some other guy.
Nick DiCarlo.
Nick DiCarlo. Well, Nick DiCarlo was a big deal at that point. and SD Jones was the guy, like we mentioned, he was a big name everywhere else, and now he's this jobber to mid-card guy, and now he's just looking for a tag team partner. And he at this point, SD Jones had a few tag team partners. And we all know Adonis and Murdoch. We just talked about them about a month ago.
Yeah, we had the episode on them, and actually, I was surprised by this match. You know, it wasn't. You know, I don't want to put down SD Jones for being a jobber or anything like that. But I was really surprised by the crowd reaction to this match. This was a really they had the crowd in the palm of their hands, and this was just like a standard, you know, tag match. I don't know if the titles were on the line. I don't. No, if it was a big deal if Nick DiCarlo was in the arena.
No, you know what? I think, and I've said this before, I think, on the show, jobbers are not. Some of the enhancement talent was crazy over with the fans. Yeah. I remember being at the Garden for guys like Jim Powers and Jose Luis Rivera and Steve Lombardi, and they would, and the crowd would pop. And, you know... Of course, and they're mentioning the action figures in the chat room. Yeah, SD Jones got his own figure. So SD Jones was a big deal. Unfortunate for him, when they got him, they got everybody else.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, they got Junkyard Dog, they got Piper, Valentine, and Bundy. And I mean, so, you know, again, though, he got the respect. He just didn't get the notoriety on TV.
Yeah.
You know, but the match, listen. I don't know. A lot of the younger fans, you have to go and watch some of these. I mean, it might be boring to you guys to watch like Primetime and these.
I found this one exciting.
Well, that's the thing, because you don't see like nobody see. No, there's no more enhancement talent anymore.
Yeah.
So like, you know, everything's a big deal, and every match is apparently a big deal when they suck anyway. But
yeah,
I'd rather watch a 10-minute tag team match between the champions and some enhancement guys, because A, you're going to get wrestling. Okay.
Yeah.
B, you're going to get, you know, back and forth, good hot tags. You're going to get continuity, and you're going to get the fact that the main guys always performed well, and the enhancement talent always put them over.
Yeah.
You know, always. I don't care how many times SD Jones got squashed. He always made his opponents look good.
He was a believable enhancement talent.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he was a guy who, you know, granted he wouldn't have, like, the match of the night, but he would put out a fight, you know, that was convincing enough for people to, you know, think that he might win.
Yeah. So, of course, but, you know, obviously they never won.
No.
You know, but at that point, too, you had good teams. You had Adonis and Murdoch. You had the Moondogs. You had the Samoans at that point, Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas.
Yep.
You know... Sadly, though, the announcing was terrible. This is before Jesse. This is like Jesse's tail end of wrestling that he got into announcing at this point.
Yeah,
he was. This is like one of his last run. Where you see him in this on this thing here. But Tony Garea was terrible doing color commentary with Vince. Oh, and I don't get me wrong. Tony Garea was a great talent. Tony Garea was a great talent back in the day, but he was terrible on color commentary.
Yeah, well, guys from the Northeast weren't exactly, you know, the most mic-friendly, you know, commentators.
Well, he's from New Zealand. He's from the Northeast.
Well, you know, I'm talking about, you know, the Northeast talent.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's...
You know, they would have Bruno Sammartino on there. He wasn't, you
Bruno,
know...
Bruno, yeah, Bruno was
terrible. Italy.
No, Bruno was terrible. I'm
oh, yeah, he was one of the worst.
And I loved Bruno. Bruno's one of my heroes, but
yeah.
He wasn't good on commentary. You know, you need that heel... face kind of back and forth. you know, no, Tony Garea was from New Zealand.
New Zealand, from Auckland, New Zealand.
Yeah, Ted Turner. So, anyway, your next segment was, and this is cool because I forgot, Georgie Animal Steel was a major heel before 1985.
Yeah.
Anywhere he went, he was a heel. He actually had a title run with Bruno back in the day.
Yeah. They even had a cage match.
Yes, yes.
Chicken wire cage match.
That's right. Good call, Mega Powers. Thank you. Yep. And this is weird. Oh, you want to play the interview or you want to? Or
let's
you want to play? All right.
He wasn't with Mr. Fuji for very long.
No, this is Mr. Fuji's new find. So let's take you now to Mean Gene and one of my favorites of all time, Master Fuji. I love Mr. Fuji, by the way. Let's go take you now to Mean Gene.
Veteran, ring veteran, I might add, from Osaka, Japan. The latest acquisition and somewhat of a surprise to me, but you're not one for, you know, being a mystery man, necessarily. But George the Animal Steel, I must say, in all due respect, Mr. Fuji, is something else.
All around America, all around world. Word of mouth travel very, very fast. Listening about animal. George the Animal.
You know, I've got to compliment you. You look just fantastic in the beautiful attire. Resplendent, I think, is the word.
Domo arigato, ne?
Domo arigato.
Animal, please come in. Sure, all American.
Hey! Hold it just a second here. George the Animal Steel, 288-pounder, Detroit,
Why you stop talking? Please continue talking.
Is there a possibility that I can communicate with your man here, the Animal Steel?
Just a minute. It is only me, Mr. Fuji, that can communicate with animal. Why?
I wouldn't.
Because of mind to mind. And he looking my eyes. Then he's looking. Yeah? You see, huh? He see greatness.
Is there a chance that I can get him to say something? Please, Mr. Fuji, I'd like to, if at all.
Not a minute. Just a minute. Not right now. Not right now. I must also talk about my man. How great he is. But now, animal, please say something to people.
I would like that.
Please.
Get.
Open mouth.
Apparently, we're going to get him to say something. What? Oh, my. Look. Whoa. Can he say something, please?
Shut up, you! Yanio. Talk, say something. Oh, you. Yeah. Fuji!
All right. Thank you. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back. I can't believe it.
Wow.
How great is that?
That's great.
It's cool, you know, just to see stuff like that. Because, I mean, a lot of guys don't remember. A lot of younger fans don't remember, you know, not only George Steele being a heel, but Fuji, like Dave mentioned, Fuji had him only for a cup of coffee.
Well, hey, they had that big match, the tag match between Fuji and George the Animal Steele versus Hulk Hogan and Mean Gene in Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis.
To an AWA crowd.
That's right.
Just to, again, it's just amazing how, you know, wherever they ran, like, they ran in Minneapolis, so they would set up the ring to look like an AWA ring.
So, your next match, ironically, speaking of Minnesota, Dave mentioned before, Jesse the Body, they recorded out of a house show in Minnesota, and Jesse the Body was on the card, and he fought another jobber. But I forgot his name. Chris Curtis, yeah. And Jesse was over, man.
Yeah.
He wearing his his belly shirt and his funny looking hat.
Plato's retreat.
And a Plato's retreat mask.
Which,
yeah.
I think Mean Gene was on commentary. And he was like, "Oh my god," because Plato's retreat was like a, I think it was like a sex club or something like that. So him having that shirt was kind of like a big deal just to put him over as that rock and roll, like what? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll wrestler.
So, yeah, you want to play a little bit of Jesse coming out?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
Now making his way to the ring from San Diego, California, 275 pounds, Jesse the Body Ventura.
Holy mackerel, Gene, take a look at that.
And look at the sea of bands on hand this week for the appearance of that package. Is he something else?
Jesse the Body got to be the most colorful man in professional wrestling today. And look at that. What would you call that, Gene? He's sprouting on top of his head there to Cleopatra. Look. Looking for somebody in this capacity crowd.
I think he's looking for the members of a National Football League franchise.
Calling out the Minnesota Vikings.
This week.
Certainly wouldn't be able to hide very well in that particular outfit. Jesse the Body Ventura, one of the many stars here in the World Wrestling Federation.
271-pound veteran of San Diego, California. Third man of the ring, referee Joe Morella.
Wow, rest in peace.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I tell you what, Jesse the Body Ventura, if people don't remember him for his in-ring, go back and watch his feud with Ivan Putski.
Awesome.
Paduski, as he called him so lovingly. Between the arm wrestling matches they had, forget about it, man. Jesse was so over, even as a heel. Great tag team wrestler. Can talk up a storm. Wasn't the greatest wrestler.
No.
But he held his own, and dude, he worked up a crowd. He pretty much incites a riot right now.
Hey, he was one of the master shit talkers, one of the guys that I fashioned myself after.
He's calling out the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
You know? A.K.A. Captain Freedom. Good call, Matt. I forgot about the running man. He was in the running man as Captain Freedom.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jesse beats up on Curtis gives him a little bit of a match here. And, again, making Jesse look good, you know? And this was my childhood. Not this particular card, but not this particular show.
I thought it was really funny that, was it on the scoreboard above the ring? It said, like, such and such type and model car, license plate, whatever, your lights are on.
Yeah. And then the next segment is Mean Gene interviewing an incoming B. Brian Blair. This is before he formed the Killer Bees, so he's still looking for a tag team partner at this point. Again, Vince is picking Blair, being a Florida wrestling guy, and then Vince cherry picks the AWA and brings in Jumpin' Jim Brunzel, who's a super veteran at this point.
Yeah,
Jim Brunzel is wrestling since the early 70s at that point. So this is pre Killer Bees. I'm not going to play the interview. Nothing really exciting there. And then he interviews the Russian. What the hell's his name?
Alexis Smirnov.
Alexis Smirnov, another guy who wasn't really. He was there for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I don't even remember the guy.
Yeah, he was like one of those. Again, this was 1983. Russia hates us. We hate them at that point. And this is what Vince did. He built characters. So this was pre-Nikolai Volkov, you know? And that's pretty much it. And then what was the next segment? The next match was
Ron Hutchinson versus the Iron Sheik.
And this looks like it's from, I want to say Toronto, Maple Leaf Gardens. It looks like Maple Leaf Gardens anyway. Ron Hutchinson looks like he has the hair of the, what's that movie?
Albert Einstein?
Yeah.
Yahoo Serious,
yeah. But the Ayatollah, Freddie Blassie, they called him the Ayatollah. Again, the Iran crisis was still fresh in our minds at this point. Vince playing the character role again. Genius move here. Great booking. I know I've said it with Rusev. I love the whole thing with the foreign angle. I think it works for wrestling. It always does. I don't give a shit what decade or what year it's in. This is just classic stuff for me.
Yeah.
So Sheik is almost a year removed now of losing the title to Hulk Hogan. He lost it in January. So this is like he's still an upper to mid-card guy. you know? So he's still, yeah, this is definitely Maple Leaf Gardens because they got the flags and stuff in the audience, and now Sheik is going to talk to the crowd.
Every medal there is to win in the amateur wrestling ranks.
Yeah, you can't even do that in Canada, dude. So anyway, so the Sheik puts the clutch on him for Ron Hutchinson. Looks like he's a stick boy for the Maple Leafs. Let's see the next match. Here's the thing. Not only was Vince cherry picking new guys, but he was bringing back the veterans too.
Yeah.
And the next match is from the Philadelphia Spectrum, which I know Surfer will definitely appreciate this. The legendary Bobo Brazil, which we highlighted in our Black History Month segment this past February, against Big John Mitten, a.k.a. Big John Studd. John Studd, one of my favorite big men of all time. The guy was a legit badass, did the territory thing, was a multi-champion, big-time tag team champion. He was one of the executioners for a while. He put the mask on. He was a tag team champion. I believe he was a singles champion for a while in Mid-South and Georgia and other NWA territories. But John Studd was a menace to look at live. When I was a kid, when I was 8, 9 years old, seeing this guy in the ring was just... And I saw him outside the garden, he was a big beefy of a man. Bobo Brazil, again, Dave and I talked about him in length a couple of months ago. Bobo was one of those guys who was crazy over, was the world champion, but wasn't recognized.
Yeah.
You know?
In Newark, New Jersey.
Yep, Newark, New Jersey, which ironically is a big card going on right now. There's a big house show for WWE right now as we speak going on, and should be just ending about this around this time.
Shining Wizards, Tony's there.
Tony is there. A homegirl, Liz Moxley from NASCAST, she is in attendance. I know Big JP from the Nerdport is in attendance. A lot of our friends are at the card tonight. But, you know, Big John shows his strength. And Bobo Brazil succumbs to Big John, but gives him a good fight, though. This match was pretty good.
Well, you know, Bobo was kind of like in past his prime at this point, I'd say. And Big John Studd was, becoming a name on the scene for WWF at the time as well. You know, Hogan was the champion. He was having a nice run with Hogan at this time, too. You know, Hogan and the Sheik, Hogan and... John Studd, Hogan in Morocco in 84. Those were some of the guys that he was making the rounds with. So yeah, man. He was one of the top-tier villains in the WWF at this time.
Yep. So
having him dropping the big elbow. On Bobo Brazil for the 3 count to win this match was nothing short of stellar. You know, nothing more to give this man a higher how can I word it? You know, bigger name on the marquee.
Yeah. So the next segment, real quick, well, not a segment, it's a commercial for the magazine. I want to play the magazine commercials. I love the WWF magazine. Hold on.
World Wrestling Federation magazine is now on sale. Read about Sergeant Slaughter's march into our nation's capital. Find out how Tito Santana made a young boy's dream come true. Read of the Beauty and the Beast, Captain Louis Albano, and rock star Cyndi Lauper. World champion Hulk Hogan visits with Johnny Carson and Brooke Shields, while the Samoans visit with Mr. T. Where's the beef? It's in Montreal. Visit with Andre the Giant, who invites you into his very own restaurant. All this and more in the official World Wrestling Federation magazine, now on sale at your local newsstand.
See? Like, pop culture. Wrestling was involved in pop culture. Rock and wrestling, they just plugged rock and wrestling with Cyndi Lauper, and then Hogan hanging out with Brooke Shields and Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
This is what wrestling doesn't have anymore. It's not in pop culture. You know? It's not accepted like it used to be.
Yeah.
It doesn't get the fanfare when I was a kid.
It's on TMZ, so...
Well, they cover with... They want all the dirt, obviously, because the wrestlers can't stay fucking clean or illegal, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Or can't stay straight.
Right. What's that?
I'm just joking. With the whole Darren Young.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's pretty much it. That was the show.
Yeah.
You know, and before we end, I just want to emphasize what I just said about the whole about thing about wrestling being a pop culture. Why isn't it? And I'm that's not a question to you. It's just a rhetorical question. Why isn't it? Is it the internet? Is it because Vince monopolized it? Is because that cable television is taking another turn? The digital thing? Is it? Why is it not accepted in pop culture like it used to be? Not just TMZ waiting for Kurt Angle to go on his drug rant, or China to be in porn again, or Sonny to get DUI'd, or like TMZ just waits for you to fuck up. They don't care about the cards or the matches. They don't care about the podcasts or the entertainment of it all. They just want the guys to get in trouble so they can have something to talk about. Why is it not accepted in pop culture like it was back in the day? That's my question to the masses. If you guys can give me a definitive answer, put it on Facebook. Tell me. Tell Dave. We want to know. It baffles me. You have these bigger-than-life characters on TV. You know? Are there not enough guys? Are they not plugging them properly? Are the networks just looking to fill spots and that's it? Is it not a thing where... I don't know. I don't know, Dave. I'm baffled. Just seeing that...
I just think media right now is just kind of all over the place. You know, anyone can be a star. Anyone can... have their own TV show, you know. Was it, for the company that I work for, we do, we work with another company that gets our company, time on people's YouTube channels, you know, influencers. And there's like people that I've never heard of who just have like thousands upon thousands, like, you know, almost like millions of subscribers and viewers, you know, to their YouTube channel. And we're paying them like thousands of bucks to advertise our product. It's insane. And it's just, it can be anybody. You know, I think the spectrum of who's a name and who isn't, you know, is getting wider now. And, you know, as far as wrestling goes, you know, I think guys like Dolph Ziggler, Rey Mysterio, John Cena, these guys are names. People know who they are, but people don't discuss it like they used to back in the day, because we had a limited amount of stuff that was on television, limited amount of stuff that was on prime time, and, you know, even for magazines, music, and all that other kind of stuff, a limited range of artists to choose from if you didn't know about, like, any underground scenes, you know?
Right.
And I think now it's just getting wider and wider.
Yeah.
And, we still got a lot of the old names that are still here, because... frankly, it seems like if you're not like a name from like 10 years ago, you can't sell out a arena unless you're One Direction or Taylor Swift. But I think she's been around for like 10 years now, right?
I don't even know, dude.
But regardless, you know, it's, the spectrum of, you know, famous to not famous is getting wider and wider. And, I just feel like WWE is just another thing. It's a brand name that everybody knows, and, you know, you either love it or you hate it. But as far as discussing it, there's so many, like, other things to talk about, whether it's, like, a new season of Orange is the New Black, or, you know, somebody's new...
Yeah, Walking Dead.
Or something. Yeah, Walking Dead,
I
whatever.
I guess so. I guess that's a point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I just miss it. I miss it being on, you know... I miss when Arsenio Hall and Johnny Carson would have, or even the talk shows. I mean, Regis and Kathy Lee, and then Regis and Kelly, and now Kelly and Michael, they do it still once in a while. They'll bring John Cena on every couple of months or whatever. And that's cool, too, but it's not like it used to be, man. You know, Arsenio had almost the whole heel roster on his show at one point.
Hilarious.
Rick Rude, Savage, Bobby Heenan. I just miss it, man. I know I'm just, at this point I'm just like being an old man and be like, well, when I was your age type of shit. Breaking news, actually, my phone just went off and let me know. Somebody sent me a message. Austin Aries made his return tonight to Ring of Honor at their house show out in Las Vegas. So expect to see Austin Aries in the upcoming events. Hopefully he'll be in Brooklyn, too. That's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of Austin Aries. I always was. Guy's a good worker. I want to give a birthday shout out to our boy Tank. Yesterday it was his birthday. Happy birthday. I know we shout him out, but, you know, Tank's behind the scenes is a good dude. He's been with me since day one. He was actually on a couple of my first episodes before you even came on. So shout out to him.
See whose side Tank is going to be on for Mega Slam.
Yeah, that's going to be a big deal, man. Tank's going to have to. I mean, you were the referee. Now you're not the referee. You're actually a contestant. I need a new referee. I may make him the referee.
Yeah.
And our boy Steve Milan. Steve is a big fan of the show. I want to shout him out too. Happy birthday, brother. I forgot to put it on a page. I'll probably put it on a page before I go to bed. But I forgot to put it on a page. I've been so busy today. On my first day off of many Fridays. I'm very excited. So welcome to Friday Nights. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us. Dave, welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you for having me back.
Anything else before we start pulling this training?
That's about it for now. I'd like to say, happy birthday to Stuart from the Indie Corner.
Oh, Stuart, that's right. Happy birthday, man. Yeah.
And, that's thumbsickninjas.com. Check their website and podcast out. Good buddy Rob.
Rob D in the building. Rob's going to come on the show in a couple of months, I think. We're going to have him in studio.
Bingo.
Yeah, he's going to I told him he needs to come on and hang out with us.
I think he's going to be there at Mega Slam.
Oh, okay. All right. So there you go. We'll have Rob hopefully at Mega Slam. Okay. That's it, guys, pretty much. Listen, let me start playing some music here. Is that a commercial? No, okay. Yeah. So anyway, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. Get all the episodes there. RantEMRadio.com. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. All new episodes this week on that, too. Don't forget, Battleground coverage starts 7 p.m. on Sunday. What Are You Reading? Comic Book Show 8th Anniversary starts at 5 p.m. Go check that out. We have a lot of good shows, like Dave mentioned, Thumbstick Ninjas, Don Tony, Kevin Cass, The Wrestling Soup, The Bloke Show, Mega Pals Radio, Geeks of the Industry, NASCAST, Nerdport, all the good shows. They're all on there. We have links to all our friends, and that's pretty much it, man. Of course, you want to email the show, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. We have Twitter, @TBuckleTBacks. What else do we have going on? We're also on TuneIn. Type in Turnbuckle Throwbacks on TuneIn. All our shows are backed up on there as well. Stitcher, go on iTunes, leave a review for us if you don't mind. Or go on the other networks, leave a review about us as well on there. It helps out all the shows all across the board.
Nationwide.
We'll be back next week with the contract signing for Mega Slam. I don't know if we're going to be able to do enough time for a throwback next week. This might be just the whole big deal with the episode. So we'll figure it out. Either way, we're going to come correct. But guys, check out all the other shows. And thanks for hanging out with us. Welcome to Friday Nights, your new Friday Night Delight, myself and the Mega Powers. Bidding you adieu. Don't get arrested. Avoid the clap. You know, be kind to animals. Hug your mom. And be nice on the fucking Facebook page, all right?
Yeah, so, and spay and neuter your pets.
Yeah, let's get along. All right, Dave, welcome back, brother.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night, guys.
Back to U.S. of A.
That's right. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Keep it tight, kids. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Every town has an Elm Street. I'm screaming while the bus is in motion.
Today, huh?